We proceed, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallam wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma aftah alayna futuh al-arifin wa waffiqna tawfiq al-salihin wa anfa'na Allahumma bil-Qur'an wa zikri al-hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كلها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقال المصنف وهو الإمام العارف أبو العباس أحمد بن محمد بن عبد الكريم الشهيد بن عطاء الله السكندري في كتابه التنوير في إسقاط التدبير: انعطاف لبيان أحوال الثلاثة المتعلقة بالتحكيم الوارد في قوله تعالى: حتى يحكموك. انعطاف، فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم، ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. This ayah has three messages. And the first one is contained in the statement, they are not truly believers until they make you the judge of everything that they differ about. So this is a tahkim. Hakkama means to make somebody a judge, and the master of that is tahkim. So the first point is that if we have any differences, they should refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and to the sharia that he came with. The second point is ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And when you then have passed the judgment, they should not have any objections against that. So that's the second point. And then the third point, he says, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they should submit perfectly. And we said this, يُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, grammatically this is called مَفْعُول مُطْلَق. And the author, Sayyidina Ibn Ata'illahi Sakandari, takes that into the meaning of mutlaq, making it general. It's not only a complete submission, he says it's submission in all matters. Because first he stated, submissions in what they differ between, but once he made it mutlaq, he made it general. It does not only apply to differences between people, it applies to any kind of thing, even like individual matters. So he says, وَثَالِثُ وُجُودُ تَسْلِيمِ الْمُطْلَقِ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَفِي مَا نَزَلَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ فَهُوَ عَامٌ بَعْدَ خَاصٍ فَفْهَمْ. So the third point, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, means that they should have taslim, generally speaking, in what happens between them and in what happens to the individual. So he has generalized it after first having made a specific statement. So understand this. Then the second ayah, now this is new, we didn't do this last time. والآية الثانية وهي قوله تعالى وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار ما كان لهم الخيرة سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون. This ayah again has three different parts. The first part is your Lord creates what he wants and he chooses, he makes the choices. ما كان لهم الخيرة, they don't have any choice. And the third point, سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون, he is a high elevated over any partnership they attribute to him. الفائدة الأولى قوله تعالى وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار, he creates what he wants and he truly makes the choices. يتضمن ذلك الإلزام للعبد بترك التدبير مع الله لأنه إذا كان يخلق ما يشاء فهو يدبر ما يشاء فمن لا خلق له لا تدبير له. And he says that if people, if we have those who have not created anything, like we haven't created anything, and it is for the person who has created, he has the right to organize what he has created. So anybody who has not created him should not claim to have any part in the organization of this creation. And to prove that, he gives another ayah. He says, أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. How can somebody who has created be equal to somebody who has not created? Don't they reflect? So that is the first point. He is the creator, so he has a right to organize. Then the second one, وَالْفَائِدَةُ الثَّانِيَةُ وَيَتَضَمَّنُ قَوْلُهُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He makes the choices. انفراده بالاختيار وأن أفعاله ليست على الإرجاء والاضطرار بل هو على نعت الإرادة والاختيار. When he says Allah makes the choices, it means that he makes a choice, he has the free will to make a choice. Human being doesn't have a choice in certain matters, but our choice is very limited because we don't control all the factors. Allah controls all the factors, and he is not, he's neither logically nor in any other sense subject to anything that constrains his power. So he can choose what he wants out of his free will, and there is nothing that compels him to make a certain choice. وفي ذلك إلزام للعبد بإسقاط التدبير والاختيار مع الله تعالى إذ ما هو له لا ينبغي أن يكون لك. And in this we can see that he is the one who is entitled to make this choice, because the right that he has, we cannot have the same right. And that's because one, we cannot be at the same level with Allah. And then he continues, وَقَوْلُهُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. They don't have any choice. يَحْتَمِلُ الْوَجْهَيْنِ. You can take this in two different senses. أحدهما لا ينبغي أن يكون الخيارة لهم وثانيهما أن يكونوا أولى بها منه سبحانه وتعالى. You could either take it to mean that it is not appropriate for the servants to have this choice, and the second one is that they do have this choice, but I'm not saying Sayyidina Muhammad, that they did have this choice but they cannot exercise it, so that they are not able to exercise it. So he will explain now, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ أَيْ لَا أَعْطَيْنَاهُمْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَوْلَى بِمَا هُنَالِكَ. And he says that this phrase means that it applies in both ways. First is that it is not suitable for us because we are the servants and he is the Lord, and second, we don't have the actual possibility to do it because our choice is very limited. Then he proceeds, his third point now. وَقَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ أَيْ تَنْزِيهًا لِلَّهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةَ مَعَهِ. So he says that trying to have a choice when Allah has a greater power, that is trying to climb up to his station of lordship, and that's a kind of shirk. So when he says, after speaking about the fact that creation doesn't have a choice, he says that Allah is high above what they attribute to him in terms of partnership, that it is a kind of partnership one is trying to do when one tries to organize things that belong to his realm of power. And he is far above that. وَيُثْبِتُ الْآيَةُ أَنَّ مَنْ اِدَّعَ الْإِخْتِيَارَ مَعَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ مُدَّعِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ بِلِسَانِ حَالِهِ وَإِنْ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِمَقَالِهِ. So this is a proof that whoever claims to have a choice besides Allah, he is a mushrik, and he is claiming lordship with the tongue of his hal, with the tongue of his state, even if his actual speech is freeing him from it. That means he doesn't say that I am equal to Allah, but his state says it, because his state is that he is choosing by the side of Allah, and that means that he is claiming to be a lord by the side of Allah. That was the ayah of the seerah. And then the third ayah. والآية الثالثة وهي قوله تعالى أم للإنسان ما تمنى فلله الآخرة والأولى. The people have what they wish, when to Allah belongs the hereafter and this world. فيها دلالة على إسقاط التدبير مع الله بقوله أم للإنسان ما تمنى. So when he says, will people have what they wish, أم للإنسان ما تمنى, then it's a question, but it is a kind of rhetorical question. Not a question to be answered, it is rather a statement saying that the people can't have what they wish. أي لا يكون ولا ينبغي له لأنه ما جعلناه له. It is neither suitable for them nor is it possible for them to have everything they wish simply because we didn't give them that. وأكد ذلك بقوله فلله الآخرة والأولى. To Allah belongs the next world and this world. This is a kind of confirmation of what he said. ففي ذلك أيضا إلزام العبد ترك التدبير مع الله تعالى. أي إذا كان لله الآخرة والأولى فليس فيهما للإنسان شيء فلا ينبغي له التدبير في ملك غيره. Because if to Allah belongs this world and the coming world, and to Him belongs all the realms of existence, then that is His mulk, that is His property. And you can go into somebody else's property and say, now I'm going to manage your property, which doesn't belong to you. So if all the realms of existence belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is His right to manage them. And if we come in and say, we are going to manage this, then we are trying to manage somebody else's property. This is what he said. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ التَّدْبِيرُ فِي مُلْكِ غَيْرِهِ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ التَّدْبِيرُ فِي مُلْكِ غَيْرِهِ. It is not suitable, doesn't befit one to manage the property of someone that belongs to someone else. وَإِنَّمَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُدَبِّرَ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ مَنْ هُوَ مَالِكُهَا وهو الله سبحانه وتعالى. The only one who is entitled to organize in this and the next world is Allah سبحانه وتعالى, because He is the owner.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Is about the second verse. وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار ما كان لهم الخيرة سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون. And there are a few lessons for this ayah. There's a comment on this ayah. Your Lord creates what He wills and chooses, and the choice is not for them. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for above the partners they attribute to Him. And the first lesson says in this translation, which I have of the book, this saying, your Lord creates what He wills and chooses, demands from the servant his abandonment of tadbir with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He creates and chooses what He wills, then He plans and manages as He wills. So whoever does not create has no tadbir. The human being doesn't create, so really he should, or he has no tadbir. Then according to his saying, He chooses what He wills, shows His uniqueness and singularity in choosing, and that He does not act out of necessity or pressing need, but out of the quality of free will and choice. And implied in that also is that the slave is obliged to drop and cease his tadbir and choosing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that which is his prerogative cannot belong to you, to meaning to us human beings. And there's another paragraph. This is you have no choice in the matter. It has two sides. One, it is not fitting that the choosing be for them, and that they be more worthy of it than He Most High. So this is not the right not the right way to be for our Lord, that we would be having the choosing. Then second, they have no right to choice, and we, meaning Allah, we did not give it to them, for they are not worthy of it. So meaning we don't do much worthy. If we think we have a choice, we mess up the word most of the time. And then he says his statement, Bismillah, glory be to him above the partners they ascribe to him, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent above having others share in the choice with him as partners. And the verse makes it clear that whoever pretentiously claims to have any personal choice alongside Allah is one who associates mushrik, who claims lordship for himself, and Allah is free from what he claims. And that was mentioned just recently. So that is the little chapter for, as a comment for the second verse. The third verse, I think we've been reading that already, have we not? This verse says, shall man have anything he wishes for? And to Allah belongs the beginning and the end of all things, which is in the Quran, Surah 53, 24 verse. This contains proof of the necessity of leaving the tadbir with Allah by his saying, is it for man to have what he wishes, which does not exist? And is it not fit for him because we did not give it to him, meaning the choice? And he confirmed that with his saying, to Allah belongs the end and the beginning. Implied in that is also a call and an order for the servant to seize tadbir with Allah. In other words, and this is the final paragraph of this chapter here, in other words, if both beginning and end belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then man has no share of that for himself. So it is not fit that he manage and direct the dominion of another, but rather that the one who owns both worlds be the one who direct and manage them, and that is Allah, the glorified and exalted. Full stop.